Hey, thank you so much. Kia ora, Ata Marie. I'm Sally Ann, and this is
Renee.
And we are both very grateful members of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, although I do think that this weekend could be called Accents of Al-Anon. It was beautiful to hear Maida earlier talking with her Scottish accent from Portsmouth, and my last name starts with an M, and outside of Glasgow, there is a town that starts with an M. So my heritage, or my, as we call it in New Zealand, my whakapapa, is very much over there with you guys. So it's lovely to have, to hear your accents and to see where you are and know that you're my family. And that means so much. So it's a lovely reminder from my higher power that I'm not here sitting, in New Zealand talking to a bunch of strangers. You know, I'm talking to family. I'm talking to whānau. So that's important to me. Before we start, we're going to say the Serenity Prayer in Te Reo, which is the Indigenous Māori language from New Zealand. It's one of our three official languages, English, Māori, and sign language. Oh, and we'll teach you a little bit of sign language too. We'll teach you a couple of things because you guys are all on mute, but we know you want to participate. So a way to participate visually, there are two things we've learned which are really helpful. One is thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And the other is applause, and this is what applause looks like. Yeah! So, shall we have a little practice? I can see some of you practicing now. We'll do a quick fire. Thank you. And applause. Thank you. Applause. Well done, gold stars for everyone. Okay, we'll do the Serenity Prayer in Te Reo, and then should we do it in English too, just to be kind. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
E te atua, tukua mai ki a o, te mahurutanga ki te whakai, ki ngā mea e kaore nei e taia e o te whakarereke. Te kaha ki te whakarereke i ngā mea ka taia e o. Me te mātauranga e mōhio ai o he aha. Te aha. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
And now we're here.
Yes, and now we're calm and serene.
And now we're centered.
Yeah, we can talk from a place that is God-centered and not self-centered. So for me, actually, I'm just going to jump off straight away with the Serenity Prayer, because when I came in, a tiny little bit about what I was like when I came in. I came in suicidal. Yeah, thank you. Perfect. I came in suicidal, really not wanting to feel the pain that I was in anymore. And I wasn't eating well. I wasn't sleeping really at all. And I was in a very bad place. And I had no courage. And I had no acceptance of my life, and I certainly did not have any wisdom. In fact, the wisest thing I'd ever done up until that point of my life was to go to an open Al-Anon meeting. And let's be honest, I didn't go for me. I went because my then AA partner was taking his friend in AA to the meeting. And, you know, I didn't want to miss out. I didn't want to be the one not there. So, I went along as well, you know, kind of just to show that I could, more from a place of ego rather than a place of thinking that it could help me. And I was given a newcomer's pack. And when I wasn't sleeping at night, I sat up and I read that. And of course, I identified with the sharings in that newcomer's pack. And I felt a sense of, I guess, hope. And then I waited a month. You know, I really needed to hit that rock bottom hard. And feel enough pain and get enough desperation that I was willing to do what I needed to do to seek help. And then I went to a meeting, and fast forward to now sitting next to Renee.
Yeah. And so, for me, quite a different story. I heard about Al-Anon when I was 17. Actually, I probably heard about it when I was 16 and my mum started going to Al-Anon. But it, of course, I didn't need that. So it didn't register at all for me. And then my mum realized she was on the wrong side of the coin of alcoholism when she went to treatment as a family member of an alcoholic. And so she jumped to the correct side of the coin, which was AA. And so she went to AA. Of course, I didn't need Al-Anon anymore because or at any stage, because she was cured. So she went to treatment. I didn't even know she was an alcoholic. I thought she was just a really party kind of person. And she went into treatment, and then lo and behold, she stops drinking and goes to Alcoholics Anonymous. So I know Alcoholics Anonymous cures people, and I know that I don't need Al-Anon family groups because my mum doesn't have a problem with alcoholism. And so fast forward for me, 30 years later, I'm 47 years of age, I realise that my brother's life is absolutely imploding, and I go, there's one place that could help. I don't know how doing the steps myself will help him sober up, but I have faith that Al-Anon will show me how to do the steps of AA that we do. And so I took my sorry little butt off to an Al-Anon meeting. I was furious. My brother had made me do this, you know, so it's like, damn you. Like, damn you with your shoe. I could have thrown a shoe at him. And so I ended up in an Al-Anon family groups meeting the very next day. So I, you know, went the very next day, and I got given the newcomers pack, and I foolishly started reading it before the meeting started, and I promptly burst into tears, because actually I realized that under my rage was sadness. This disease kills. It's scary and sad. And I burst into tears, and I stayed crying for 6 weeks, I'd say, at every meeting I went to. And Sally Ann was in the room at my first ever Al-Anon family group meeting, which was then.
And so, full disclosure, I'm a person in Al-Anon who has a sponsor, and I sponsor others. And sitting to my right is someone that I sponsor.
This is true.
So you've got a sponsor and a sponsee here today to talk to you about sponsorship and what that's like, and what it's about for us. And we thought, because there were two of us, we'd make it a little bit more interactive. And we'd interview each other, basically. So to start off, I guess the big question maybe on people's minds, if you're out there and you're a newbie, or if you're not a newbie, you might want to know what sponsorship is.
And why?
Yeah, and why it's
important. Why have it?
I don't know. Why have it, really?
Why have it? Well, apparently there's something in this. I don't know if you've seen this, but there is this wonderful thing called the service manual. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it actually quite clearly states that sponsorship is a mutual and confidential sharing between two Al-Anon or Al-Ateen members. A sponsor is someone with whom a member can discuss personal problems or questions. Someone who willingly shares the experience, strength, and hope of the Al-Anon Al-Ateen program. So apparently there's a program.
Oh, there is. And the program, and actually, if we go to this, we both really love literature, you might notice. The recovery program in the Al-Anon fact file, I'll just bring that a little bit closer to the screen. The flyer says what the program is. It's actually quite fabulous. Recovery program on page 4. It says, vital elements of members' recovery in Al-Anon involve the following: adopting and applying the 12 steps to one's life, attending Al-Anon and Al-Ateen meetings on a regular basis, turning to the next page, reading Al-Anon literature, making telephone contact with other Al-Anon and Al-Ateen members, having a sponsor, being a sponsor to another member, practicing the principles embodied in the Al-Anon program, participating in Al-Anon related service projects, and volunteering for group, district, area service positions. So those are the vital elements of a program. And I really love this, the wonderful saying that we hear a lot in New Zealand, which is, there are no musts in Al-Anon. And that always makes me laugh, because I hear words like essential or vital, and I'm like, yeah, must seems like a really little, small and inconsistent, an unimportant word when I hear words like essential and vital. So these elements are vital. So I have to be practicing the steps. I have to not just practice them, I have to adopt and apply them to my life. Yeah. And I have to attend meetings on a regular basis. So for me as a sponsor, one of the things I say that is, I call it step zero. Step zero is go to meetings, and generally go to meetings where I'm going to see your face. because as I've learned in sponsorship, and the things I share today are my experience based on being sponsored and being our sponsor. So they may resonate for you, they may not. If they do, that's great. If they don't, talk to your sponsor about it. But one thing that is true for me is when I came in, lying was just a tool. I learned to lie in the home that I grew up in, affected by alcoholism. So of course I'm going to play fast and loose with the truth, but it's hard to do that in a meeting with my sponsor sitting there opposite me. So for me, that's a big part of why I need to see people in meetings, because it's easy to say to someone on the phone, yeah, I'm going to meetings. But if I see you in a meeting, then I really know you're going to a meeting. So step zero for me.
And I think one of the things that's so funny is because honesty is such an important integral part of intimacy. And I can remember, so I had my rock bottom probably 9 years before six years before I got into the rooms, and I was paying a considerable amount of money to an amazing woman who I didn't lie to because I was paying her lots of money. So in those days, my God was money. So I knew that my life as a child growing up was full of poverty, and I thought that was the problem. I didn't realize it was alcoholism. I had no idea it was alcoholism. Even after mum was diagnosed and stopped drinking, I didn't know it was anything to do with alcoholism. I thought it was money, lack of money. So my drive from teenagehood was to make money. I got my first job when I was 13. I was making money and I was saving money. And so therefore, when I went to this woman, I was totally honest with her and I did whatever she said. And now I look back on it and go, oh my God, I treated her like I now treat Sally Ann. Like Sally Ann says to me, I need you to be honest with me. It's like, duh, of course I'm going to be honest with you. Why would I shoot myself in the foot and lie to you? And it astounds me that I would.
And the great thing about that awareness is I recognize that I lied just because it was normal. It was my first thought was and is sometimes a diseased thought, because the disease of alcoholism is not about the thing that comes in the glass or the bottle. It's about what happens in my brain. Mm. So my brain is distorted. It has distorted thinking. So my thought often is my first thought is a lie. And so I have to reprogram myself to not do that. So when I'm working with new people, I can have the compassion and understand that if I was going to lie in the beginning, then possibly this person is too. And we can work through that together. But like Renee has just pointed out, that honesty is, again, a vital part of recovery for me. Question for you. How important was it for you to be able to reach out for help or to learn to reach out for help?
I mean, this was something I really didn't want to. You know, I don't know if anybody identifies with this, but I'm the fixer. So therefore you come to me for help because I help. I'm really good at helping. Thank you very much. I'm the well one in my family. Really, yeah, beyond knowledge. Don't even notice I am lying. Denial, right? Denial. So one of the things that I had to do, so I was, full disclosure, trying to use my mother as my sponsor. You know, she had 30 years in AA. She could totally sponsor me. She was well enough to not co-sign that one. And so therefore she was like, ask someone to sponsor you.
Did you find that difficult?
I found that incredibly difficult. And do you know why I found this incredibly difficult? A, I chose someone scary. I mean, I did not choose a loving, kind, warm, motherly type. I chose like this terrifying woman. Everybody else around Wellington were like, you asked Sally Ann to be your sponsor? Because she, honestly, you were so clear with your boundaries that people were terrified. People are scared of this woman. And I got it. And so anyway, so the first question I asked, and then there's this scary little voice. I still remember exactly where I was standing, walking around the waterfront on my mobile phone, trying to get out the courage. I'm totally doing this. Do you sponsor from the big book? So that was my first question. So one of the things that I had, because I had the gift of, I love IT And so I had listened to a lot of speaker tapes. I knew the 12 sets of AA worked because I had living proof in that by actually getting a mother. I never had a mother before AA. And then I got one through AA, through the 12 steps that she was doing every day. And so therefore I knew the answer was in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And of course it's not conference approved literature. So it's not really widely talked about. And so my first question to Sally-Ann was, do you sponsor through the big book? And you said, yes, I do. And I said, would you be willing to be my sponsor? And she said, no. She said, no. And it's real. And I'm just like, oh my God, do you realize? I don't know if you understood. It was a rhetorical question. Like, you weren't meant to actually answer it. It was just meant to just be out there in the ether with you going, well, of course I will. Lovely little newcomer.
I'm so happy you asked. I couldn't wait.
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for you to ask. Yeah, no, that's not how it worked. And actually, it was fantastic in hindsight. It was fantastic because what she said is, I don't know that I can.
Yeah, what I actually said is, I'm quite busy in service right now. I'm not sure that I can, because for me as a sponsor, what I've learned is, personally talking about my own experience, is especially with someone new, there's quite a big time commitment. And I was serving at the national and international level at the time, and I don't want to set someone up to fail. I only want to set someone up to be successful. So I think my words were, I'm not sure if I can, if I have time right now. So what I need to do is call my sponsor and check with them first, because that's what's been role modeled to me. So that's what I do. I reason things out with someone else, because if left to my own devices, my first thought is no, I don't have time for you. See ya. And that's not helpful, loving or kind. So instead I say, I'm going to talk to my sponsor and I'll get back to you.
And she also said she was going to pray, which I thought was a little bit odd. And it's like, oh God, I've chosen someone who is going to like do that. Really? Anyway, so yeah.
Because the best answers don't come from in here for me. The best answers come from prayer, meditation, reasoning things out with a sponsor, service sponsor, or someone who is that wonderful word, wise. Because I talked in the beginning about when I came in, I was quite insane. You know, let's use the right words. I was insane. And I didn't get granted wisdom. You know, wisdom doesn't come with a wave of a magic wand. Wisdom for me comes as a result of living the three legacies and doing a lot of service work, you know, doing those vital things that we talked about in the beginning. So if I want wisdom, I'm very clear today. I can't just pray and get granted it. I actually have to pick up the phone and call someone who's wiser than me. And that person's generally my sponsor or my service sponsor, because I don't go in here for wisdom. I mean, today I have closer conscious contact with a God of my understanding. So yes, sometimes I'm able to channel that, and sometimes I'm able to hear that still quiet voice. And I get beautiful words that don't come from me, that I know are from my higher power. That's true for me today. But in the beginning, no, if I want wisdom, I have to pick up the phone. So I called my sponsor and she said, you know, I was coming to the end of those service roles, and she said, and I'd never heard this or thought it. You know, I would never have thought this. She said, why don't you do it on a trial basis and you can see how it goes. And so that's how I get to say yes today to service when I think I'm too busy for it. Because generally in a service request, in sponsorship as a service request, I'm like, oh no, I'm too busy. Mm. I'm too important for that. Oh no, I couldn't possibly. I don't have time for that. That's my first thought. So my next thought has to be, and in fact, another girlfriend I rang, and Al-Anon helped me with this, when my dad died suddenly, and we were estranged, of course, because you guessed it, alcoholism. And I didn't know if I could go to the funeral or not. And I rang a girlfriend who I've known in recovery for a long time, and she said, what would it take for you to be able to go and be safe? And by reframing it, and this is the same, what do I need to put in place to say yes to service like this? And a time frame that we could check in with each other and mutually agree to dissolve the sponsor-sponsee relationship if needed to, or to decide, yeah, this is working. You know, that kind of parameter works for me.
And I think it was probably through your sponsor. At that stage, you were about to go off to IAGSM, I think.
Yeah.
And so therefore you said right from the get-go, and I'm going to be away, and you need a temporary person to be your sponsor during this time. And it was like, well, I don't even know what I'm going to use you for. Like, what am I going to use a temporary sponsor for? It's like, you know, remember, fix it. I fix it. I fix it.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's been really important. And this is how I've been sponsored, which is that you reach out for help. I don't call you. You call me. So that's one of my bottom lines. And the other one is my sponsor was really good right from the beginning. And I'll just quickly say, I say my sponsor. I've had four. The first one, incredible, gentle, lovely, stopped coming. The second one, incredible, a little bit stronger boundaries, stopped coming. The third one, wonderful, absolutely terrified me, but I got up the courage to ask her and she was amazing and she passed away. So I'm on my fourth one, and my only requirement for my fourth one was that she was immortal. So far, so good. Touch wood. Hopefully that continues. So, you know, I'm very realistic. But what my sponsor, so I say my sponsor and I mean pieces of all of those people. What my sponsor always taught me is this isn't about her. You know, she's a channel. And the good stuff that she shares with me is from Cal, or it's from her experience, it's from her higher power. So my sponsors always set me up with other people to call. You know, they encourage me not to just rely on them, because this is not about personalities.
Yeah.
This is not about feeding their ego. This is about setting me up to have closer conscious contact with God and to be able to look for solutions myself. And often a lot of what comes out of my mouth, and I'm happy to say it, it's just for Cal. It's, you know, it's not magic. I'm not this wise guru on top of the mountain chanting Om. It's Cal. And I'm so grateful to the Al-Anons who went before me, who took the time to write down their experience. You know, those traditions and those concepts came out of problems,
pain,
and solutions. Yeah. And they wrote those solutions down so that in 2018 and 2019, when I was struggling in service or in my personal life, I could flick through Cal and go, there's a solution for me. You know, do you all know that in the classic edition of Al-Anon Family Groups, which is our first book, there is a whole section on group problems. And I guarantee you, any problem that your group has had, another group in the world has experienced it and someone's written it down.
Well, and I think what's so amazing about that is they wrote it down before there was things like online. And so we think our problems are modern. That's so not. Because they're all about people, right?
Yeah. Another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you sponsor now, which is great. Yes. You carry the message. As a sponsor, what are the responsibilities that you have to someone new?
So the number one responsibility, obviously, is the taking them through the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take my sponsees through the steps in exactly the same way I was taken through the steps. So it's just, for me, I think that's one of the things I love about sponsorship is literally it's guidance. Like, I totally see it as a guide, and I know you've walked the same track.
Mm.
So I do a lot of tramping, hiking, whatever you want to call it. We call it tramping here in New Zealand. And I know that someone else has done this before me. And I think that's what's so fantastic about sponsorship is I'm not trying to invent something new. I'm literally taking a person through the steps so they too can get to step 12 and have as the result of doing these steps, a God in their life and a spiritual awakening to that God in their life. And I think that's the thing that's amazing for me. You know, like the first thing she says is she's going to talk to her sponsor. Okay. And she's going to, you know, like converse with God. Okay. You know, it's like weird and even more weird. And now I talk with God. God talks with me all the time. You know, now I'm actually, because I've done the steps and therefore I now have conscious contact with a higher power. You know, I thought I'd already done steps 1, 2, and 3. I was halfway through step 4. Yeah. I really was.
Little myth. I can do this myself. I don't need another person.
So I was halfway through step 4 when I finally got plucked up the courage to, you know, pick up the phone. Can I say a B word that rhymes with witch? I think I can. Anyway, that said, and now we're back on step 1. And I'm just like, you don't understand. I am in here. I am doing 12 steps because I know that's the answer. I get that. Like, I knew that before I got here. 12 weeks, gold star at the end of it. I'm out. And now I have to go back to step 1. Like, she took me back 3.5 weeks, maybe 4.5. Like a long period of time. But I was like, okay, fine, yeah. I'll start at step one.
I'm jumping in. Little Miss, I sponsor myself. Ism. You know, like we have an ism, alcoholism, not alcohol wasm. So I get this phone call from this wonderful crazy newbie, and she's like, yeah, so I've already done steps 1, 2, and 3, and I'm on 4 now. And I'm like, bless. Yeah. I probably said that. Yeah, so we're going to go back to step 1. Yeah, that landed really badly.
Yeah.
It was interesting. And I think just listening to what you shared about being on a path and walking steps together is I'm very clear and I believe compassionate when I say to my sponsees, I'm not going to ask you to do anything I haven't had to do myself, because I do these steps. I've done them in my first 10 years. I did them annually because I was the manager of a retail store and you took inventory annually. So why would you not inventory yourself annually? It just made perfect sense. So that's what I did. And that gave me an ever deeper understanding of the steps. But I will always remember my first time through the steps because it was painful, agonizing, and also transformative and loving and compassionate. But I know I'm going to be asking these people to jump some hurdles and fly through some flaming hoops. Like, I get that. But the only reason I can ask that of my sponsees is because I've done it. I did what I'm asking you to do. And if I can do it, you can do it. And I know that. So I will.
And I
put that out right at the beginning. I will never ask you to do something I haven't done.
And I have absolute belief I've never been asked to do something that you haven't done. And I think what's amazing, so one of the things that Sally Ann is fabulous for is service at all levels, actually, national and international. And so therefore, whenever I get asked to do service, and I think I'm too busy, I think, there's no way I can ring my sponsor, because I actually use my sponsor as my service sponsor and my step sponsor, my recovery sponsor. And so, I can't pull the I'm too busy card, because
she tries.
Yeah, I do try.
She's tried. Yeah. And it's very funny. She rings me and she goes, I've just been asked to do this and la, 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 la. And I'm like,
That is exactly the noise that comes out. Yeah. And I know that basically she's waiting for me to do the circle, come round and go, my answer's yes, isn't it? And it's like, my answer's yes.
And again, for me, that's understanding our alcoholic relatives. You know, that's bringing the traditions in. And it's compassionate, because I do that. When I say yes to service, I've realized now for me, there's a process where I go, oh, yes, I'll do that. And then there's a process where I grump about it and I complain about it and I have a little, you know, tantrum about it. Then I do it.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, again, transformative.
I know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was really funny for me. One of the things that Sally Ann did early in my recovery journey with her, was go to Rome. She dropped the location in a lot of meetings. So she went to Rome as a delegate for the International Al-Anon General Services meeting. And she came back to Aotearoa, New Zealand, with this whole new zeal and boundaries and annoying things like, okay, so one of the things that I've, you know, because seriously, I fix it myself, you know, you come to me for help, remember? And of course, she'd literally turned that on its head. And then you came back from Rome and you said, right, so we're going to actually have a check-in call. So you can call me anytime, but we're also going to have a check-in call every week. What time would you like? Now, I don't know about you guys. If you've grown up in an alcoholic household in a similar way to mine, my household was chaos. We didn't have routines. I can remember actually being the typical untreated Al-Anon saying to mum, what is this food? Like, is it lunch? Is it dinner? Like, what is it? And her reply was, it's Kai, eat it, the Māori word for food. Eat it. You know, it's Kai, eat it. And so the whole idea of routine, I hate it. I hate routine because I'm not used to it. It's not comfortable to me. And so at 9 o'clock every Monday, guess what I was doing? I was messaging Sally Ann to say, ready for my call? She would reply, yes. and then I'd ring her. And it's like, oh, another routine. Like, honestly, I've already got a home group, you know, that 12:30 on a Tuesday, every Tuesday I'm in Wellington. I saw that. Every Tuesday I'm in Wellington, every, like, I go to this meeting and it's like the same people are there and we run through the same format. Honestly, routine, routine, routine. So that was one of the things that you changed after going to Rome. And then another thing, honestly, she's always mixing things up, which is hilarious. And I've talked to one of my sponsees about the fact that one of the things that she did some years later, a couple of years later, is you're going to call me every day for 30 days. And if you miss a day, you go back to the beginning. And it's like, I don't have anything to say to you. I don't have anything to say to you every day. And the 30th day, because, you know, I am a girly slot, and so I will do my homework, you know, pretty diligently. And also I don't like to have to do things twice. And so on the 30th day was the day that Stepping Stones came to New Zealand. And so we were busy in service, like putting it together, and Sally Ann spoke at it, and I emceed, and we hosted the person, and then we all go home, and it's about 9:30 or something like that, and that is too late to be calling Sally Ann. And I'm like, oh my God, it's day 30, and I haven't called you. Like, I've spoken to you, I've seen you, but I haven't done the homework. And so I was like, I'm just going to have to chance it. And I picked up the phone, and she'd just pulled into her house and went, I wondered if you'd remember. Oh, thank God, you know. But again, nothing that you haven't done yourself. And I think that's the gift of sponsorship for me, is I have absolute belief you won't ask me to walk on a tightrope that you haven't walked on before. And if you trust the tightrope, I'll trust the tightrope. Mm. I'll use your trust to build the trust.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I don't know, and I may paraphrase this badly, but I remember there was a great, I can never remember if it's an analogy or a metaphor, but, you know, people are at an event and there's a tightrope and there's a guy at the top with a wheelbarrow, and he's got the wheelbarrow and he's like going to go from one side of the tightrope to the other. And so everyone's like, no way. And then anyway, the guy puts the wheelbarrow on the tightrope and he's wheeling it along the tightrope and it's swaying, and over he goes, and he makes it to the other side, and the whole crowd goes wild. They're like, wow, that's amazing. And then, of course, the guy says, I'm going to do it again, and this time I want you to get in the wheelbarrow because it's your higher power. And he said, get in the wheelbarrow. Now, that's trust. And I didn't, I know, right? I didn't have that kind of trust when I came into the room. So same as what Renee just said, I borrowed my sponsors. I also didn't have a higher power. Couldn't even say the G word when I came in, okay, you guys? So I had to use other words that I just borrowed from other places. I used the universe for a while, or I used Mother Nature, and all of those worked for me, whereas today I can say the G word. It's just a placeholder, it doesn't matter. But I borrowed my sponsor's faith, and I borrowed my sponsor's trust. I thought, if she can do it, maybe I can do it. And the other thing that I love, and I remember a moment when we had this, where my sponsor, working with my sponsor, especially through 4, 5, and 8, 9, she saw qualities in me that I didn't know were there. Oh,
yeah, totally. It's really funny. One of the things that Sally Ann got me to do that wasn't in the text box, so I hadn't done it in the first time that I was doing 4 on my own, is write down my character assets. And she said, use a double page spread in your book. And so I opened this double page spread. I wrote down, I think, 4 things, maybe 5. And you filled it in. Like, you were just like, I see this. I see this. I see. What about this?
Mm. And I remember our group was hosting an event, and I said to Renee, oh, would you please make, I think it was a holiday season event, would you please make some baubles for our thing that we're going to put up and use in a meeting, because you're really creative. And then you came to me afterwards.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not creative. And because creative in my family was people who could draw. I can't draw. But honestly, my stick figures look like, well, something.
Sticks?
Sticks. Not figures.
Instead of people.
Yeah. Not figures. Yeah. So let's, because we're conscious of time, what are the benefits of sponsorship? Like, are there any other than, like, I've lost all this time because this woman keeps ringing me, messaging, going, can I ring you now? And can I talk about me? you know, because I get the benefits of being sponsored, you know, because I get to talk about me, which is always my favourite topic.
Right. Asks me a question and then answers.
Oh, yeah, true. Benefits.
You know.
So there you go.
I know. Okay, so one of the benefits, thank you for asking, for me was, and we've talked about a little bit already, was breaking isolation. Another one, but that's being sponsored, being a sponsor, one of the benefits is actually remaining teachable, because God can talk to me through anyone, and I learn just as much from working through the steps with Renee as I'm able to teach. And all I'm teaching is my experience. But if I've got my ears open and my heart open, I learn a lot about me. And what I get through working the steps with another person is I get the gift of healing, because I get to bear witness to God working in Renee's life. And that strengthens my faith and my trust in God, because I see him work miracles every day for Renee, and I get to benefit from seeing that. The other thing for me is that I know from my first sponsor especially, I believe it was the first time I'd ever experienced unconditional love, the first time I'd received it, especially the intimacy created after working a 4-5 with someone, and that rigorous honesty and that person holding a space for me of grace and dignity as I'm digging into the absolute bowels of my existence and pouring forth all of the guts and the venom and the bile of my life onto our step 5, and to have her love me through that process, I finally felt unconditional love, because I grew up in alcoholism. Love was dependent on me doing what my parents wanted, or me believing their lie, or you know, doing what the alcoholic wanted, because that person was the tyrant of the home. And so receiving unconditional love was, I mean, that was magical. And then because I felt it, because now I know what it feels like, I'm able to give that grace, that space and that dignity to my sponsor.
And I think what's fabulous about that is the lineage. So one of the things that happened, because, you know, God's timing, my God, I don't know about your God, but my God totally shows off, like totally shows off. And one of the things that my God did is on Tuesday, one of my sponsees took a meeting, took a workshop actually at our meeting on love. And I got to be a witness. I got to hear her side of a story that I was involved in with feeling unconditional love for the first time. And I mean, it just brings tears to my eyes. It's just, and because my God does show off, and one of the things that I've got is the 50th edition version of the ODAT. And today, July the 12th here in New Zealand, I read this, you know, as in my morning when I was doing, before I did my prayers, which is, and the quote at the bottom is, keep thyself first in peace, and then thou wilt be able to bring others to peace. Have therefore a zeal in the first place over thyself. And I just went, of course God put that in this. Of course he did, because that is exactly it. If I, as we often say, put my own oxygen mask on first, and I've witnessed Sally Ann's growth between her 17 and 22, and I sit there going, I want more. I don't ever want to be one of those sponsors who just stops going.
And I think,
like, why?
Yeah, what I hear when you talk about that story with your sponsee in that reading too is the vulnerability that comes through the intimacy of working through the steps, the traditions and the concepts together, is I get to be vulnerable too. And I know that when I go to my meeting, the home group that I go to, our meeting, some days I'm great and some days I'm not great. And I have to be honest. Like, if I'm demanding honesty from my sponsees, demanding, suggesting honesty, I'm honest too. I'm honest when I'm struggling. I'm honest when I'm having a bad day. And you've seen me in a meeting share my problem and then go right round my problem in the sharing. And then God reminds me, you know, I love an alcoholic. And there was some stuff happening that wasn't great and I really wanted to get in there and fix it and I couldn't. And I got to it and I went to the, in a meeting and I was like, light bulb.
Yeah.
It's none of my business. I've got to get my hands off.
Yeah.
And we talked about it afterwards.
Yeah, we did. And I think that's the thing. So you role model so much of your own vulnerability and faith because you know there is a spiritual solution. Mm. Like for every problem, there is a spiritual solution. We just need to find it. That's all. And if those are our lens, if they're the glasses that we're looking through, we can remember God is everything or God is nothing.
Yeah, he either is or he isn't. And if he is, then he's in this.
All of it.
Too.
Yeah, he's in all of it. And yeah. So, and I wouldn't, so I think that's the thing. No, the number one benefit of sponsorship, I wouldn't have any of this. I wouldn't have any of the clarity. I wouldn't be able to see the beauty that is all around us. Because I'd be so busy looking at the problem, trying to fix it. Because I'm the fixer. And yeah, the benefits of sponsorship is literally close to conscious contact.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, I joke, I've got my ringtone for when Sally Ann responds to my text is actually hilarious because it is, hallelujah, you have a message from God, spoken in a kind of text and drawl. And I joke about it because I know you're not God. Because you are willing to show your very humanness. Actually, she's quite a dork. So, So our first meeting after lockdown, so we had a lockdown here in New Zealand because of COVID-19. And our first meeting, our first Tuesday meeting after lockdown, because we have two meetings, a Tuesday and a Thursday. And our first meeting after lockdown, we were going around the rooms introducing ourselves. Hi, my name's Renee. Hi, my name's blah, blah, blah. And we watched Sally Ann and she went,
oh, sorry, I was on mute.
She is a dork. Honestly, literally, dork. So, yeah. And what's fantastic about that is it means I haven't put her on a pedestal because actually I am absolutely, that's one of my isms, is I want to put people on pedestals because I want to compare and despair. And I want you to be better than me or worse than me, to be fair. But if sponsor, I kind of want them to be better than me. I really don't want them to be worse than me. And so therefore, and I haven't because you show your humanness because you do in meeting. And sometimes, she's not traveling well.
Yeah. And I'm allowed to because I'm a person first or a human first before I'm an Al-Anon member and I'm allowed to work this program one day at a time. And some of those days are rough. You know, my recovery trajectory doesn't go like this because that's not life on life terms. My recovery trajectory goes a little bit like this occasionally.
But always going up.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. The overall curve is up.
Yeah, the gifts don't stop coming.
And I get to see that.
Yeah, the gifts don't stop coming. And that for me is what ever deeper understanding means. You know, my closer conscious contact gets deeper with my higher power. My ability to access serenity in the midst of chaos gets deeper. And when I'm willing to be vulnerable and real about that and show that side of me, that's what it's about. That's what brings us closer as members because I remember in my early meetings there were a lot of long timers that just talked about how great their life was today and it wasn't real or attainable for me. You know, and it's funny to me now because a lot of those people have disappeared. And then all of a sudden, I've turned into the long timer. I don't know how that happened. And I'm really clear that I have to be honest, H-O-W, you know, how I work this program is honest, open, and willing. And I'm willing to set myself up as a human being. I'm not a spiritual entity. I'm a human being. And anything good that comes out of my mouth is from Cal, from the wisdom from my sponsor, or things I've experienced. Things I've witnessed, things I've felt myself. So it's not from me, it's through me, the good stuff. Mm. When it's not good stuff, that's me, you know, that's my disease. That's me in a defect. Yeah, because I still have them, you know. God hasn't removed them all. Some of them he uses for good. like being pedantic and saying, you need to ring me at this time this week. Yeah, that worked. And it was incredible. I got to go to the IAGSM, which is the International Al-Anon General Services Meeting, and I got to meet Al-Anons who lived the legacies, who talked the concepts. You know, the concepts weren't on the wall. They were in their hearts and minds. They talked about harmony and participation. And I wanted what they had. And that, you know, taking that back to sponsorship, I wanted what my first sponsor had. I remember sitting opposite her in meeting. She was happy. She was joyous. And she was free. And I was miserable. I was broken. And I was trapped in a cycle of pain, blame, and shame. And I looked across the room at this woman and I just thought, wow, how was she like this? What has she done? And so I was willing to do what she did to get what she had. And I came back from the IAGSM the same, you know, I went to the service event and it was like, I think I was about 18 in the room and I got reignited with this energy and this passion. And I listened and I remained teachable and I heard what these people said they did. You know, we talked in the breaks about things like sponsorship. And I got really good boundaries that I couldn't apply because, of course, I talk about sponsorship now and I hope I'm doing a good job, but I didn't always do a good job. You know, and so the things that I've learned and the boundaries I put in place today are loving boundaries to enable me to be good because in the beginning I made all the classic mistakes. And I think I had to say,
friend.
Yeah, I said to Renee right from the beginning, okay, I'll be your sponsor, but I'm not your friend. And it's important to me that you understand that I care more about your recovery than I care about your feeling.
And she does. And that's love. And that's love. And that's what you get from sponsorship. Love.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, yay. Shall we wrap it up there?
Yeah.
Do we want to do a Q&A, Yvonne, if anyone's got any questions for us as sponsor and sponsee? We'd love to answer your questions live.
Yeah, let's do a Q&A. The chat is open, you guys. If you want to stick your electronic hand in the air, you can.